Welcome to the Play in Faith podcast, where we dive into the world of sports through the lens of optimism, inspiration, and faith. We're on a mission to infuse youth sports culture with positivity and joy while building the largest network of college Christian athlete mentors in the world. Thanks for stopping by. Enjoy today's show. All right. Hello, everyone. It's Coach Chris from Play in Faith, and I'm excited today. We have got Chad Briscoe from Grace College here, the athletic director there, to share some fantastic messages with you today. So first of all, Chad, how are you doing this morning?
Chris, I am great. Always good to be with you. Thanks for your time today as well.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for doing this. And I know you've got some wonderful things to share. So you've been at Grace College for, I believe, 17 years now?
Yes, Chris, it goes fast. It goes fast.
That is crazy. That's a long time. You guys have accomplished some incredible stuff here. But as we back up a little bit, so what brought you to Grace College and how did you get here? Obviously a life of loving sports. So how did you end up here in wonderful Grace?
Well, the beautiful part of a journey is to allow the Lord to lead. And I spent a lot of time in college coaching, basketball specifically. And I had worked for several years out of college in minor league baseball in the front office. And when this job came open, my wife is from Indianapolis. And at the time we were living near Pittsburgh and we were wanting to get back closer to home, and the AD job opened up at Grace, and came and interviewed, and next thing you know, the Lord opens the door, and here we are. And so grateful for the ministry work that Grace does and for the opportunity to serve, and of course, mission-minded, that fits my two passions of spiritual growth and athletics, and those two worlds colliding every day. So it's a great place to be able to do ministry and Christ-centered athletics.
Nice. Yeah, it's certainly a unique, I mean, Grace is a very unique place. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you deal with college athletics and the kind of that intersection of spirituality and I mean, obviously you guys are doing this at a very, very high level. I knew I'd have to prompt you because you're not going to say it on your own, right? So Grace has been stacking national championships since you arrived. Not really before, but since you've arrived.
Some before. So
I think it was two before and 20 cents. Yeah. So, you know, let's give you some flowers here. So tell me a little bit about some of the success that you've had here at Grace across all these different sports.
Yeah. What's been great is that, Chris, we've been able to hire wonderful leaders who want to do it the right way. And that is use the arena of athletics, whichever sport that you love, to impact, shape, and change a life for Christ. And I'm a firm believer that winning is only just a byproduct of the culture and what you're trying to build and instill within the lives of the student athletes that God has entrusted to you. So the success just hopefully comes from doing things the right way. And that is, as you know, recruiting kids that fit the mission of Grace and kids who can play at a high level, who want to get it done in the classroom academically, but then also
it's a lot to ask.
It is. And then finding that kid who then has a passion for wanting to excel at a high level. And so when you're able to put that into a melting pot and stir it up with a coach who's able to get the most out of their kids, that's where the success starts. So it's hiring the right people. And then for me as an AD, getting out of their way and letting them do what God's equipped them to do. And so it's been fun to watch the growth of our programs and to see the success of those programs. And again, as we've always said here at Grace, and as I mentioned, and when we first started having some of those successes to my president, Dr. Drew Flam, that it's just a greater platform for us to know Christ and to make him known to the world. And so that's our desire. It's our desire.
I love it. I think that's the mission here at Play in Faith too, is that the more I explore the world, the more I realize I don't know that there's a better vehicle for building some of those traits and really promoting faith and doing things the right way than athletics.
It is. Every life lesson is taught in the arena of athletics. There's not a day that you don't wake up and you don't teach a life lesson in it. So to equip kids and to prepare kids is that all the life lessons that you're able to use every day on the court, you know, on the field, you know, on the cross country course, whatever, it all helps to equip and prepare a kid for life.
So you guys are doing how many sports here?
We have 19 varsity programs.
That's what I thought. And I know national championships, I know they've come in a couple different sports. I know women's basketball for sure. I got two little basketball players.
Right. So we've 2024
watched many of those live. Yeah. And obviously you guys do an amazing job. So quick shout out to you all with your camps.
Oh, well, thank you.
I feel like I should probably get a dorm here. I've been driving back and forth the entire summer, both my daughters with basketball and volleyball camp. And I passed this compliment on to your basketball coach as well. Coolest thing for me as a parent, my kids come home, and I say my kids, I have two actual daughters and then 13 girls I coach,
right,
who we sent here proudly as well. So I view all 15 of them as mine. And I asked them, you know, what did you get out of the camp?
and they're young. I mean, they're elementary, middle school kids, and I expected them to say, I learned this drill, my team won this, I got this award, a lot of them got some awards. The coolest thing, they came home and they said, my counselor or my coach, KT, did the best devos.
Wow, about that?
And that was the first thing out of my daughter's mouth. It was a devotional. And to put your schedule in context, they're up at 7 in the morning.
Right.
These devotionals are happening at like 11 p.m. Right. So it's 16 hours into
full
a day. And
the
highlight of their day was the devotional. So
praise the Lord.
Yeah, thank you guys. You're definitely doing it right.
Yeah.
So obviously you've spent the last almost two decades, you know, here at Grace with a ton of success. Now you played some ball growing up too.
I did.
This is something you very rarely mention and just kind of sneak it in there. So tell me a little bit about your college playing, your high school college playing career, and then even some professional ball, correct?
Sure. Yes. Yeah. I grew up in Southwest Virginia, played for the Hall of Fame coach, Bill Pope, who's actually still coaching high school basketball today.
Oh, wow.
So I'm really old. And so that means he's been doing it long time. So he's in the Virginia Hall of Fame and all-time winningest coach my high school, and played for him, had tremendous success there that he built. Went on to college, went to Anderson University just down the road from here. Sure. Anderson at the time was an NAIA school, and so enjoyed playing my four years of college ball there. And then the Lord opened a door to go overseas, and had the incredible blessing of playing professionally for 6 years in Sweden, and looked at it as a huge ministry opportunity. Worked with schools, taught English, and then I worked with local churches, working with their youth groups on, you know, Friday nights and Sunday nights, and just a really neat platform of being able to use the little bit of ability that God gave me to give back and to impact, and again, change lives in another culture. And Sweden shaped my life in an incredible way. Still very close with some of the guys I played with, friends that became family, and in a country that really needs the Lord. And so it was a big mission field. And so I always tried to keep that at the focal point of everything that I said and did there, that it's about ministry. And so not always perfect at it, right? But pursuing the ministry opportunities was really key. So enjoyed hanging on to the shoes for a couple more years, and maybe I was a big given, you know? But it was a great experience, and has helped shape me into the athletic director that I am today.
I would imagine. So I find it fascinating in that, you know, the more we're in this youth sports culture, I'm seeing the pressure becoming even younger, younger with parents. It's D1, 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 scholarship, scholarship, get that scholarship. Mm-hmm. And we're talking to kids sometimes as young as 11 or 12 years old. Mm-hmm. And Anderson, you said it was NAIA at the time, right?
Yes.
It's still not a Division I
it's D3
program.
Now.
And then here at Grace, one of the most successful Christian college athletic programs, but not Division I.
Right, correct.
Which is sometimes being just pumped and pushed down young people's throats. Mm-hmm. Played 6 years of professional basketball, cashed a check.
Sure.
So what's that experience like? It has to be an interesting transition where to go from an NAIA program to that level.
Right, yes. I think what makes it unique for the parents or the kids listening out there is that finding the level that fits for you. It's kind of like the Cinderella story. It's like finding the glass slipper that fits. You want it to fit like your favorite pair of shoes, and not chasing what the person to my right or the person to my left has. And so because my teammate goes D1 doesn't mean that I have to go D1. It's finding what fits best for you.
Sure.
Because at the end of the day, I always tell student athletes, it's your experience and your experience alone. It's not somebody else's. I'm not looking at somebody else. And the greatest destroy of joy is comparison. And so don't compare your journey to somebody else. Run your race well, and know that God has a plan for you, and whatever level that is, enjoy it. You know, it's not like the game of golf where we get this mulligan, I can go do it all over again, right? I got one shot at it. And with the world of transfer portals and those kinds of things, it's just kids trying to find where I fit. And it's that part of not comparing myself to somebody else and finding what fits best for me.
I love it, right? Comparison's the thief of joy. But it's a hard trap to avoid. And I started speaking professionally when I was still in college. And one of the things that I would talk about was that successful people come from everywhere. So we found the same parallel in academics, where some of these students were, you're going to an Ivy League school, you're going to Stanford, you're going to Duke. And you look at these brilliant, successful entrepreneurs, and they're coming from all sorts of places.
Sure.
And it is about finding that fit. And I imagine a lot of students find that fit here as well.
Mm-hmm. And we're thankful we do. We spend a lot of time praying each year for the lives that the Lord will bring to us to invest in. And there is no rhyme or reason to recruiting. A lot of parents will ask me, how does recruiting work? And there's no perfect rhyme or reason to it. It's finding, you know, the opportunity to make sure that my kid is able to visit, get to be seen. Yeah. But at the end of the day, the part of just knowing that God will lead and guide and direct your path, allowing the Lord to do that, is a fun thing to watch unfold. So yeah, we enjoy the recruiting process. It's a fun part where you get to really invest in lives, sure. get to know parents, get to know kids, and then really share with them what God is doing here. And here's the thing, you and I both know, I mean, Chris, you and I can hop in the car and within an hour and a half here, we go visit six or seven wonderful Christian institutions
oh, sure.
that are all nestled in Northern Indiana.
It's a great place to
live.
And
it is. And so the part of like, man, we are all wonderful institutions, but we're all distinctively different. Mm-hmm. And I always tell parents is that, you know, the part of like, when I watched The Wizard of Oz for the first time, I wanted to know what was behind the green curtain really fast. And so it's the same thing is that when you go on these visits and see different schools is that, man, you have to ask the hard questions. You have to really you have to pull back the layers and find out, you know, is the word Christian, is it a part of your mission statement, or is it truly lived out in the lives of your coaches and or just the institution as a whole? And so asking hard questions, digging down, those are the things that parents and student athletes are supposed to do. So we encourage our athletes to be able to be available so that way the recruits can ask the student athletes. And then, of course, parents being able to talk with other parents. So that way, again, I want you to walk out of here with a clear sense of knowing who Grace is and what I would get at Grace.
Yeah, you guys definitely walk the talk. Mm-hmm. And I've been grateful for the influence on my team where sure. a lot of my girls have come to basketball games. We've actually sure. brought our team here
yeah.
to watch your girls play. And this last season, it was before our first game, and you know, asked our girls, would you like to pray together, right? I mean, we're in a public sure. school, so we need a little permission and sure. a little runway to sure. do that. But I knew where most of them stand, and uh-huh. they said, you know, coach, we want to pray. And we were in the locker room, and they said, we want to do it on the floor.
Mm.
We want to do it on the floor. And I am pretty sure they got that from here.
Right.
So cool moment.
Praise
cool moment as a coach.
Amen.
And
sure.
just some unbelievable yeah. kids. Uh-huh. So again, I think it's just fascinating. I know you don't want to talk about your journey, uh-huh. but I mean, you guys don't see this on video. I'm sitting next to Chad. You are not a genetic freak, right? You are not 7'2".
No,
you are a normal size guy.
I'm a 6 foot dime a dozen is what I'm called.
6 foot guard from an NAIA yes. college, yes. 6 years of professional basketball experience, a lifetime of successful athletic career. So I just think that's really cool and a good mm-hmm. reminder as yeah. we're chasing things that sometimes right. at a very young age that enjoy the lessons we're learning and whether your career stops in eighth grade, 12th
that's
grade,
right.
college, or even overseas or in the NBA.
Right.
Man, those lessons translate to everything
in
we
life.
Are doing in life. So,
amen.
So when your students first mm-hmm. arrive,
yes.
One of the things that really stuck with me is and I'm going to paraphrase you here, this yeah. thing you're telling your students that, look, your sport is something you do. It's not who you are. And I've borrowed that mm-hmm. for some of our literature.
Sure.
Maybe you heard it somewhere else. Nothing new under the sun.
Sure, right?
Ecclesiastes,
yeah, sure.
nothing new under the sun. But I love the way you phrased it. So take me through that because
sure.
I think we hear it all the time as athletes and as business people,
right?
Mm-hmm. That... But do we really hear you?
Sure.
Right? Like, well,
yes.
that's true for everyone else, but
right.
not for me. Our identity becomes so wrapped up in it. So tell me a little bit about that process mm-hmm. when your students first
sure,
arrive.
Yeah. So I would call it the identity crisis to a certain degree. So many student athletes at all levels, and I have many of them here at Grace walking around, that their identity is wrapped up in their athletic experience. So that means they've
sure.
come, it's the pyramid effect is that, you know, as you know, you talked about elementary, middle school, high school, the pyramid gets smaller as you go. Mm-hmm. And so you take, when you get to the collegiate level, regardless of what level you are at collegiately, is that you're taking the best of the best at a high school.
Oh, absolutely.
And as we know, the percentages go down, then all of those kids were the homecoming king, homecoming queen, All-American, you know, on the face of the newspaper.
Sure.
They were the best of the best at their high school. Then all of a sudden you come to your freshman year of college and, well, Chris, I'm not starting, or Chris, I'm not playing 40 minutes, or Chris, I'm not in the starting rotation. And all of a sudden there's an identity crisis that hits because there is so much pressure and expectation that I go home to the homecoming football game in mm-hmm. October after I've been to college and I tell them I am the starting point guard or I am the starting libero for, you know, at the next level.
Yeah.
And so their identity is wrapped up in their sport. So we try to make sure our students understand very quickly when they get here. And again, a lot of our kids come in with a foundation of faith. And it all looks different. I tell my student athletes, I don't care where you're at spiritually, I care where you're going spiritually because we're all at different places.
Yeah,
and so the understanding of that my identity in a sport. It's just what I do. It's not who I am. And I've got kids that really struggle with that. And so helping them understand that because of, you talked about the pressures for these kids, is that there are parents that sit in the stands, my parents listening, is that what is your communication to your kid after they play? Mm-hmm. Is it you didn't do this, this, or this right, or you should have done this, this, or this in the game? Or is it, man, I loved watching you play. It was great to just be there and cheer for you. Man, I'm excited for your next opportunity. You know, what are we communicating to those kids? So I've got a lot of kids where parents, well, you should be starting. You know, you should be in the, you know, you should be the batting fourth in the lineup, right? So that part of identity, of making sure they understand, I don't want there to be extra pressure for them to feel like, hey, I have to be A, B, or C. No, I want you to come be you. I want you to grow in every facet of your life. And the athletic piece is just the icing on the cake. And again, it is your spiritual act of worship, giving back what God has given to you. And so helping kids discern that, learn that, it's hard, and it does not happen overnight. And so it may be a kid's finally in their senior year, they figured out that, you know what, my identity is not wrapped up in this sport. It's just a platform God's given me, and I want to give it back, but making sure that I know that it is not who I am. It's just what I do. You know,
love it. It's such a great perspective, and love the focus too on how to be a parent to an athlete. It's become a research obsession of mine with just some of the statistics and data. So there's tons of stuff. There's our plug on our Play in Faith site for how to be that supportive parent really raise an athlete to get the lessons that we deserve out of this and not just play, right?
I read a thing just the other day. You're talking about, you know, the information you have on your web, which I know is very valuable, and I hope a lot of parents go there and get
me
it,
too.
is the part of understanding if you ask high school kids what is the one thing that they dislike the most about their athletic experience after the game is over, it's the car ride home with mom and dad.
Yeah, and there's some science behind it, too. Just the spike in cortisol. I mean, you give them a little bit of time, give them some cool down time. And you know, each kid is different, right?
That's
like I've got one kid, I'm going to stay far away from her. I've got another one who's very young, who'll get in the car and tell me that girl is better than me. Or I think actually after one of her first like really intense tournaments, she said she got in the car and she goes, "Dad, you know, you told me I'm going to run into a girl sooner or later that's a lot better than me." I said, "Yeah." She goes, I ran into her today. but there was no tears. It was just like
learning.
It was very matter of fact. And she's like, "She's better than me. Can we go work out tomorrow?"
Yeah,
and that's how she's wired. Now my other daughter probably not would have would not have gone as well. It would have been like, no, you did fantastic.
Sure.
So that's a really good perspective.
Yeah.
So this one's a little off book, but I'm just curious.
Okay.
So obviously, we are making Christ known first at Grace, and it's in the sports, and everything else is second. But we look at this total package of our athletes, where they've got to be standout athletes, they've got to be exceptional students. And this is a Christ-centered mission here. Do you run into some recruits, now that your programs are so successful, where maybe that faith part isn't part of their high school life? Obviously, they need to be very open to it to go here. But have you had some of those encounters?
Oh,
and I mean, it seems like a beautiful part of the mission.
It is. So the two words, discipleship and evangelism. Two words that go hand in hand when you think about the life of a student athlete is that we have some student athletes here, that, and again, we back to the faith piece of that, students at different places in their spiritual journey when they come to us. I have some that born and raised in a Christian home, have some who may have found Christ at, you know, Momentum Youth Conference in July one year, and I've got some kids that I just love what Grace is about. I'm open to learning who Jesus is, and I want chapel, and I want the biblical perspective in my classes. So I have them at all different ranges. So the discipleship piece is what we really desire at Grace, is that we can walk alongside of a kid, disciple them. And again, what my desire is that athletics is being used to do two things. One, grow you in your faith in Jesus Christ. And number two is to prepare you for life. And that means is to launch you into the world. So if we are doing those two things through the athletic experience, then the athletic experience is being used for what it's supposed to. I'm not preparing you for a game. I'm using the game to prepare you for life. And so those two things go hand in hand. So then you have the kid who evangelism, hey, I don't know Christ. Hey, this is really exciting. I whatever you're doing here is really cool and really different. I've never experienced and I want more of it.
Yeah.
Is that we have those kids walking around too. What you love is the fact when you have 80%, 90% of your team is walking strongly with the Lord or growing in their faith with the Lord, right? I mean, I got 19, 20-year-old kids who are not figured out, right? Exactly.
Sure.
But man, you throw that new kid in who has not been in the Christian setting, and all of a sudden to be just impacted in a mighty way. You know, our coaches are baptizing kids down in the lake and kids coming to know the Lord and those types of things. That's what you want when it comes to the evangelism side, is that you have kids who encounter Christ and experience Christ and then accept Christ. Then we're living out again that mission to know Christ and to make him known. And so it's a balance, the discipleship and the evangelist piece. It is a, because again, we are a Christian college, and at the end of the day, I'm not IU or Purdue, you know, and we want to be different, but it's also that part of where we evangelize to bring kids in here who don't know the Lord, that man, we want them to find Christ as well. So it's a balance, but yeah, we've got them from all full gamuts, but it's that part of making sure that every kid who walks in here, as you mentioned before, is that as a parent, there's three questions I want to know. Who's driving the bus? Who's on the bus? Where the heck is the bus going? So I always want to know. So it's the same thing for kids coming here. I want them to know what they're going to get here. You hopping on this bus. Where's this bus going? And what are we going to be doing?
Right. There's some clear expectations.
We want you to understand the expectations of what it looks like to wear the jersey that's got grace on the front of it, because it's not about you. And so we really hopefully focus on the part of understanding that I get to be a servant leader wearing this uniform. Yeah. I think servant leadership piece is lost in the world of athletics today. It's all about, look at me, look at what I've done, look at what I can do, and sort of, man, how can I serve? What does my platform allow me to do? And hopefully it is to serve other people, not to be served. Well, my favorite verse in the Bible, Matthew 20:28, the Son of Man did not come, you know, to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And so we have to keep that at the forefront of the ministry side of what we're doing.
I love it. It's beautiful. I mean, I think that's been kind of our mission from the beginning, in that, you know, sports is this incredible dress rehearsal for life to teach us how to compete, Amen. How to deal with the ups and downs, to be good teammates, to serve others, to be resilient. Yeah. And I think even the line we use on our front page, sadly, that's not the experience that a lot of young athletes are getting. And clearly they are at Grace. So we went to two of your recruits. I won't say their name, but they're basketball recruits. We went to my daughters wanted to go watch a sectional basketball game. Sure. Mm-hmm. It was an incredibly tense, hard-fought game. Most of those kids were seniors. It was a 1-point game decided at the buzzer in overtime. Yeah. And for half of those kids in the gym, their career is now over.
Right.
Yet, you had a recruit on each team. There was 20-plus men huddled at half court, arm around each other, praying together. And just a beautiful moment of like, man, this is what sports could and should be. And you guys are recruiting some amazing kids, and they're having a lot more impact than I'm sure you realize.
Praise the Lord,
even more than that. I mean, I had a lot of young athletes with me watching that, saying, we want to be that.
Praise the Lord.
Rather than raising the trophy. Amen. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah. And that's the platform that athletics gives. I mean, that others are able to see, and then at the end of the day, hopefully glorify our Lord in heaven, as it says in Matthew 5:16. So that part of just knowing the platform that is given to our student athletes, you have to, it's a great responsibility. It's entrusted to you. God's given it to you. And understand, God's only given it to you for a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. And what we do with that platform is critically important. And I tell my students athlete, understand that at the end of the day, the most important thing you may ever do as a student athlete may never take place on the field of athletic competition. Could be in a locker room, could be on a bus ride, could be in a dorm room, could be in the cafeteria. Is that the impact that you have as a student athlete? It's not just inside the lines. It happens outside the lines every day.
Love it. So we tell our mentors, look, we want to help our mentees become better at their sport, but really we're building better leaders.
Amen.
And building better futures. Mm-hmm. Athletics is just the vehicle to get us there.
Exactly.
So I imagine your coaches obviously embrace that philosophy as well.
Sure.
So you've got, 19 sports here, lots of coaches. So obviously everyone's going to have a different coaching style. I love the idea. We can be demanding without being demeaning.
Sure.
Right? Being optimistic, positive, and strong in our faith doesn't mean we don't demand hard work and excellence from our coach.
Sure.
So how do your coaches walk that fine line? And kind of what are you looking for when you're bringing on new staff and new coaches?
Yes. Well, the first thing that coincides with that is the mission alignment. You know, again, you have a lot of wonderful Christian coaches out there working at large institutions, state institutions, where, again, your faith is not a part of the everyday either expectation or allowance to a certain degree.
Sure.
And here it's that part for me when I sit down with I'm hiring a coach, is that I want to know their spiritual journey, and I want to know how they are going to use their Christian faith and to then implement and effectively lead a student athlete and help them grow in their spiritual walk. So when I sit down at the end of the year and do coaching evaluations, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, wins, losses, and all these different things, recruiting numbers. And the first thing I start with is their spiritual development plan. Every coach has to put together a spiritual development plan of what they're going to do from A to Z for the entire academic year, of how they're going to lead and invest in the lives of their student athletes. And that's what we sit down, and I want to see how they're going to implement that that? And then can they invest in a life? Can they lead a kid's life in a spiritual sense of helping that kid just develop? And again, back to, you know, it's the dress rehearsal, preparing them for when they leave here. And so how can we do that effectively? And that's a word I'll use again, effectively, is that we all communicate, but can we communicate effectively? Sure. And so the importance of how do we lead effectively becomes critically important as well. I could care less, Chris, if you want to run a 2-3 zone or if you want a man-to-man or that part does not bother
still
me.
Still play zone in middle school.
That's right.
That does not allowed me to do it.
Those things, I don't really care. I want a coach. You, the coaches are more equipped at that than I am. So, but I want to know where you're at spiritually. Can you effectively lead? And then do we live on the mission of grace? Here's the thing. I've got 19 varsity programs and all of my coaches, I can promise you, Chris, they are all distinctively different.
Oh, sure.
And they all arrive at things differently. However, if you were to sit all of them down here today and all of them in the room and you're asking, what's the mission of what I do here? Every last one of them would be unified in what the mission is of what we do. That's the thing that matters to me the most.
Love it. You guys are doing an amazing job as well. So kind of as we wrap up here today, so we've got a lot of parents, a lot of, hopefully a lot of youth coaches that are listening and taking away some of these ideas and gaining some inspiration from the content we're able to share and the amazing guests we bring on. We also have a lot of young athletes who dream of being on the floor that I'm looking at right now here at Grace or playing even varsity basketball or maybe the dream is as big as you traveling all around the world playing professionally. So what advice would you have for a middle school to early high school athlete who's still building in their career but has their eyes on, look, I want to do this beyond just high school?
Sure. Well, a couple of things that always come to my mind. First thing is I always say, enjoy the journey and have fun. My daughters, did you have fun today? Did you enjoy practice? I said, you have to enjoy, you have to fall in love with the sport every day. Are there some days that are really hard, days that, I'm tired, I don't want to do it, but you have to fall in love with what it is that you're doing every day and enjoy that platform. So that's the first thing I always share. The second thing that I think is critically important for young athletes to know is that we mentioned at the very beginning is that my journey is my journey and my journey alone. I don't have to worry about somebody else's journey. And if their journey is different than mine, do not compare yourself to somebody else. Just run your race and enjoy your race and be okay with your race. And if your race is different, higher or lower, better or worse, is that it's your journey and your journey alone. And so don't compare. I was at my youngest daughter just the other day. We were talking about, you know, social media platforms. Parents, I'm sure, navigating that stuff with their kids.
It can be tricky.
My youngest, we're talking about this. She doesn't want Instagram. She's getting ready to go into high school, doesn't want Instagram because she doesn't want to compare herself to seeing what others do or when others get together and do things. She's like, I don't want it, you know? And so I think it's really important that as we help our kids navigate is that their self-worth and who they are is not in what they see on Instagram or on a social media platform. It is in them and their journey. And as parents, we have to be speaking truth and life into our kids because if we're not, the world is. And so remembering is that they're going to listen to what the world tells them. And so we have to help them navigate that. Because again, it's preparing, we're launching them into the world of helping them navigate that. So I want my kids, I would hope the parents want their kids to know that, man, the opportunity is great. The opportunity is a blessing, but man, just enjoy the journey that you have. And then last but not least for parents to understand, parents, stay in your lane, you know, keep what's important. Yeah, for sure. And remember that in the recruiting process is that coaches look at parents as much as they do the student athlete. And if I've had more than once, I've had a coach from Grace come to me and say, I can't recruit the kid because I don't think I can trust mom and dad or what I observe from mom and dad in the stands. I'm not bringing that kid
here. That's really fascinating. I know everyone heard it. We're going to say it one more time. Yeah. So a disqualifier in the recruiting process is?
His parents. Yeah. His parents, yeah. We may not recruit the kid based on mom and dad and how mom and dad act or what mom and dad. It's so funny. Sometimes coaches will say, you know, man, mom and dad were really quick to talk about coach A and B about how they were treating their son or daughter in the recruiting process. I'm like, well, then they're going to talk about me that way.
I said the same thing. Any parent who comes up to you complaining about the previous coach, if you think it's a compliment, you are a fool.
No, they're going to complain about me.
We're revealing some character traits here, and that is going to recur.
So it is a player in the process. So yeah, important to remember that. I tell my coach, everything you say and everything you do every day, it matters.
It's so fascinating because I do think that 99.9% of parents have the best intentions. They sure. love their kid. They yeah. think they're wonderful. They just want yeah. opportunities. Yeah. But maybe a good reminder that there's yeah. a better way to go about that.
Right.
And that
exactly.
it might be a little counterproductive. For so sure. that's really fascinating. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. well, Chad, thank you so much for your time. I'm sure we're going to pester you again at some
right,
point.
Yeah.
I think there's so much to be learned about yeah. the recruiting process and sure. how to get there athletically. But thank you for your time and God bless you. You're doing yeah. an amazing job here. Cannot wait to see what Grace accomplishes yeah. on and off the floor in 2025, 2026. And thank you so much for being here today.
Chris, thank you and continues blessings on your ministry work as well. Thanks for your impact of not only student athletes' lives as a coach, but also through your ministry work and praying for your platform as well. Great to be with you today.
Thank you so much. Have a fantastic day. Thanks for tuning in to the Playing Faith podcast. If you love what you heard, please take a moment to rate our show and share it with your friends and fellow athletes. Together, we can spread the joy and positivity that youth sports deserves. And be sure to visit PlanFaith.com for more fantastic resources. We're on a mission to build a vibrant community of Christian athlete mentors that are not just the voice your athlete will listen to, but one they should. Until next time, keep playing in faith.